Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Including Intuka trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Agenda Free Friday. It's Casper and Murray. 98.5, a Sports Hub. No Felger, no Maz once again today. So again, yeah, you got Big Jim Murray here in the A-hole chair. You got Gasper, Chris Gasper, the Boston Globe, in the Maz chair. Sean Silver in my normal spot, and you at 617-779-0985. Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Wally in Fall River with a Red Sox thought. We haven't talked Sox yet in the first hour. Go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, guys? We got about 3 weeks left to the deadline. It's going to be interesting to see what Dave Dombrowski does. I mean, basically, I'm not counting on Pedraia. I'm really not counting on Tyler Thornburg. He's not going to come in and beat Kimbrel. He's going to have a little bit of rust. But I'm not counting on none of these guys. But you know he's going to be shopping for a reliever. I heard he's been calling the Marlins and maybe Oakland. But the Yankees will probably get a starting pitch in, and Houston probably. But everybody seems to be bunched up. Now, what is your gut for? What do you think? Is Dombrowski happy with this roster, or you think he's going to do some tinkering?
Well, Wally, I hope he's going to do some tinkering, especially with that bullpen, because as I've referred to everyone outside of Craig Kimbrel as the wheel of gutless bums, I don't know how you can trust anyone there, even if Kelly has put up good numbers and looked pretty decent at times in that eighth inning, but I still think they need to add something. What that is, and filling in the baseball reporters throughout the week, Chris, like some of the names being thrown around there, like, I don't know, maybe Jurys Familia, who's a human roller coaster ride with the Mets, like something like that. Like, I don't think you're going to get some kind of stud pitcher. Who is that Brad Hand out in San Diego?
Yeah, Brad Hand, and they asked for Devers.
Yeah, so that's too high of an ask. The Yankees are going to have to add a starter. They're rumored to be in on Jay Happ.
And Cole Hamels.
Yeah, Cole Hamels possibly. You know, you got to think some of the National League teams, there's going to be interest in, you know, arms in the bullpen and starters there. They have to get another arm in that bullpen at the bare minimum.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And you look at, you know, Joe Kelly's a guy that I've bought into this year, but then you look at that June, the ERA was over 8. I think it was 8.31 in June, and he sort of reverted back. Oh, it was the same old, you know, Joe Kelly. So you're in that situation, and he was the only other guy. And I just go back to, you know, there are people who look at it now, and they'll spit back at you the numbers from that bullpen. And I would just say, go back to last year. Some of the guys who were contributing to those numbers now contributed last year, Heath Hembree and Matt Barnes. And when they got to the playoffs, those guys weren't even on the playoff roster. They didn't even trust them
enough.
You know, so the idea that you know, you can just assume that whatever those guys are doing now, they can do it in the playoffs. You can't do that. I think you're fooling yourself if you do that. They need to go out and get another arm, preferably somebody who can not only be a setup guy, but also sort of an alternate closer when Kimbrel has a down day. And I don't know who that guy is. I like Blake Treinen of the A's, but the A's are in it. I mean, the A's are in it for the wild card. So why and Treinen signed, he's arbitration eligible the next two seasons after this one. So why would they give that guy up? But I'd like to see somebody like that rolled in here.
I know we're a ways away from the trade deadline on the 31st, but I'm surprised that more hasn't happened already. You have the closer, yeah. The Royals closer already move. Kelvin Herrera go to Washington Nationals,
yep,
correct?
Yeah, he went to the Nats. Yeah,
which so far, I mean, yeah, I know that they came back after being down 9-0 last night. One game does not a turnaround make. But I'm surprised more stuff hasn't happened yet. Like Manny Machado still, still reeling on that awful Orioles team. Like, where are the Dodgers maybe in on him, or the Arizona Diamondbacks? Like, chop chop. Like, I would think that some of these teams would want to make moves sooner than later.
Yeah, I think it's hard, you know, with the wild card situation, teams don't want to bail on their season. And once you make a move like that, it's a signal.
The Orioles are done.
They are done.
Move him.
They are done. It's a signal to your fans the season is over. I think a lot of teams are waiting on the Orioles to see what happens there, because it's not just Machado. It could be a full-on sell-off. You're talking about bullpen guys, Zach Britton, Brock, Michael Givens. If those guys are available too, then that would sort of, you know, dictate the market. But you look at it, I mean, the Orioles are one of the most dysfunctional franchises in sports. Like, you know, Brady Anderson's basically running that thing now because he's friendly with the Angelos kids. I mean, give me a break.
Let's go to Brian and Groton with a Celtics thought. You're next here on Agenda Free Friday. Hey, Brian.
Hey, boys. Happy 4th, and hope you have a good weekend coming up. Great show. So a couple things. Celtics-Sixers. I'm always hearing these two teams, obviously, has been in the news. But these are the two leading teams. I significantly think the Celtics are clearly ahead of the Sixers. Wanted your thoughts on that, and to kind of my buddy and I have a little debate going between Tatum and Simmons, who's got the better upside. I think Tatum, with his jump shot, Simmons... That jump shot he does not have, really, I kind of put in my buddy's face. I was wondering if you guys could answer which team you feel has the best future, and between Tatum and Simmons, who has the best upside? Thanks, guys.
Well, I think it's already clear, and granted, it's been a small-ish sample size, but Tatum's better than Simmons. Simmons really can't shoot. And, look, can pass the ball. You know, he's a silky player, but Tatum's kind of an all-around package thus far, and was, like, pretty much as soon as he came into the league. Tatum's better than
Simmons. Yeah, no, I mean, I would say the Celtics are... You know, ahead of the Sixers. I think a lot of it depends on Markelle Fultz and what he ends up being. And I have to be honest, I'm like sort of stunned when you read these reports that the Sixers don't want to give up Fultz in any deal for Leonard. Oh, man. I just get out from under that one while you still can. I mean, maybe the kid will figure it out and he'll change his jump shot. But I don't know. I mean, if I could get Kawhi Leonard and maybe he resigns with me and all I have to give up is Fultz as the key piece there, I would totally do that. In terms of who has more upside, though, I think I'd go Simmons because it's not who's better, right? When you ask me about upside, you're telling, you know, what is their max out, who's closer. I think Tatum's closer to his upside than Simmons is now. I mean, if Simmons gets even a semblance of a jump shot, being 6'10", 6'11", handling the ball the way he can, he posts guys up, pass the way he can, if he gets anything approximating a real jump shot, then... You know, you're kind of looking, I don't want to say you're looking at LeBron, but you might be looking at like LeBron light.
Sean Silver, break the tie, because I said Tatum, he said Simmons, go.
Well, I think they're two different players. I think that Tatum is going to be your guy who scores, you know, maybe 25 points a game in this league, and I think that Simmons is more of your Swiss knife. And, you know, everyone says, you know, certain things in the NBA can be taught. Some guys just don't ever learn how to shoot. Marcus Smart, we've been talking about him in the first hour. He's a guy who hasn't learned how to shoot. Now, is Ben Simmons' ceiling higher than Marcus Smart? Certainly. I'm going to go with Tatum, though, because I'd prefer the superstar over the Swiss knife.
All right. And also, too, top to bottom in terms of the roster right now, it's the Celtics. They're still a piece away. So maybe if they had Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi Leonard is
different.
How he was a couple of years ago, okay, we can have a conversation. But for now, it's the Celtics. I think the Celtics are right there with the Golden State Warriors in terms of top-to-bottom roster. Warriors still better now that they've added DeMarcus Cousins, which I wanted to ask you about. Were you one of these people that were out of their minds because, oh my God, the best team in the league also added DeMarcus Cousins, and if he comes back and he's healthy come January, he can maybe give them 25 to 30, 10 a night. Oh my God, someone has to step in and fix the NBA. I'm angry.
No, I was not one of those people, but that was enjoyable just to listen to you do that mocking rant of people who felt that way. No, I mean, look, to me, it's the same sort of thing that came up with Durant, right? I mean, this is what free agency is. I mean, these guys have the right to go where they want to go. And I always say this too, right? So Cousins' situation is different. He's coming off the Achilles, but we always crush players. Like on the way in, I was listening to Stephen A. Smith crush Carmelo Anthony for always taking the money and never thinking about the scenario where he could win. Well, then when a guy goes to a place and he's thinking about winning first and foremost, whether it's LeBron in Miami or Durant, you know, Golden State or Cousins here, then we jump all over him and say the guy's trying to find the easy out for a championship. He's a bandwagon jumper. So, I mean, which is it? Like, if they just go for the money, then they don't care about winning. When they care about winning and they join a winning organization, it's, well, oh, they're just a bandwagon jumper looking for an easy victory. It's like these guys can't win.
Yeah, I had no problem with it, you know, and I forget what NBA talking head referred to it as such on Twitter, but he referred to what Cousins did as the first NBA spite-level exception. Like, he looked around, he wasn't able to get a max deal anywhere, so I was like, you know what, screw it, I'll go to the place that has grants me the greatest opportunity to actually win a title. It's the Golden State Warriors. He can kind of slow down with his rehab a bit, come back in mid-January, and help them once again.
And plus, no one's thought, I mean, there is a potential downside there for Golden State. I mean, Boogie and Draymond Green.
Right, in terms of chemistry.
Yeah, you know, there's a fight. Draymond Green breaks his hand on Boogie's face. I mean, that could really hurt the Warriors. So, I mean, I would not rule that scenario out. So this idea that it's like it's automatic that this is going to work. Do you remember a couple of years ago when it was like, oh, the Lakers have, you know, they got the Karl Malone and Gary Payton and they got all these guys. And you're like, or even, you know, more recently, Dwight Howard and Steve Nash there. So it doesn't always work out the way you think it's going to work out when you put big names together.
All right. So speaking of that, should the Celtics have been interested, because they were rumored to be interested in DeMarcus Cousins? I want to get your thoughts on that. And since you and I last worked, LeBron James became an L.A. Lakers. I want your thoughts on that as well. And your phone calls here on Regent Free Friday at 617-779-0985. We'll get back to all that. First, I want to remind you about the 2018 Sports Hub Blood Drive, the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive, happening Saturday, July 14th. You can donate from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Best Western in Woburn. Raffles and games will be taking place throughout the day. Walk-ins are welcome, or you should actually schedule an appointment. You can do that at redcrossblood.org. It's the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive, Saturday, July 14th, from 10 a.m. until 3:30 in the afternoon at the Best Western in Woburn. Back after this here in Felger and Maz on an Agenda-Free Friday.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. And on the 98.5 Sports Hub app, free download on your iPhone or Android device. If you haven't done it yet, you can take us anywhere doing that. And it's a great app. It really is. I'm not just saying that because, you know, the Beasley Media Communications Company pays me to say it. It's the app's great. It really is. It's so much better than the platform we used to be on. So if you haven't downloaded
it. You can get all the shows on audio on demand. Well, not all the shows, right?
There's a certain Saturday show that's still missing.
Yeah.
That a lot of people seem to be clamoring for on Twitter.
Not all the shows.
You can catch it tomorrow from 11 to 2. I don't know what show that is. Casper Murray.
I made a suggestion because I was asked about this, why it was not on the interwebs.
Yeah?
I said, put it on the Felger and Maz channel.
Well, all right, yeah. Either way.
I'd be cool with that.
Let the people have the Casper and Murray.
Well, I mean, yeah, because some of your best bits are on our show, not Felger and Maz, to be honest.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
Really? Is that true?
That's Chris's opinion.
So why are you holding back, Murray?
Well, it's a different kind of feel on a Saturday. And plus, Chris is an easy audience.
Oh.
You know, sometimes the references, 9 out of 10 references I make definitely go over Felger's head. Because the man is not schooled in pop culture.
Well, are we playing to the a-hole or are we playing to the audience?
No, I'm just playing a Chris. Chris is my audience when I'm here on a Saturday from 11 to 2.
Yes, this is my gift. I've realized that I am a LeBron James level straight man.
Yeah.
That's what I am. I'm the straightest of like straight men for Murray. See, Murray's the star of the show. Gasper. My name comes first, but he's the star. And I'm
just asking a question.
That.
Are we playing one or are we playing to many?
I'm not like Kyrie. I'm cool with somebody else being the star and getting all the shine.
Well, to answer your question, Jimmy, my theory has always been, behind the microphone, I'm playing to who's in the room. If anyone else enjoys it, cool, but I keep in mind who's in the room, and I'm just basically trying to make those people laugh or entertain them, and hopefully it goes on beyond that, because if I think about the greater listening audience, then I might tend to freak out and not be able to dance on my toes as quickly as I usually can.
Google it, Murray.
Yeah, Google it. Instead, shut up, boy. Look up the information. Stop making references I don't know. That's what I'm used to from 2 to 6 here. If you haven't noticed, it is Gasper Murray in for Felger and Maz today. Sean Silver's alongside as well. So, other things NBA-related that have happened, Chris, since you and I last worked on Saturday. DeMarcus Cousins goes to the Golden State Warriors, but there was rumored interest from the Celtics. Should they have been in on him? And the other thing is LeBron James becomes an L.A. Laker. Thoughts on both?
Yeah, so DeMarcus Cousins, you know I like DeMarcus Cousins. So at that price, and you know Danny Ainge likes a deal. You know, if he can get talent at a discount, he'll take it. I would have been interested. I mean, look, the guy's already established that he can catch a flight and show up for practice, so he's better than one of the centers you have. So why not? Why not roll the dice on him?
Well, Jimmy was kicking and screaming. You should have seen his email that he was ready to basically denounce the Celtics and become a fan of another team because this would ruin the precious culture of the Celtics if they had an a-hole like DeMarcus Cousins.
I think they could absorb it. I do. I mean, you know, Al Horford's a classy guy.
This guy, Chris.
Really? Look,
not this guy.
I've heard some horrendous stories about DeMarcus Cousins going back to Kentucky. So I know he comes with a lot of baggage. But the way I look at it is, this is the same way I look at it with the Patriots, right? If your culture is so great, the advantage of your culture is supposed to be being able to absorb guys like this, Corey Dillon, get the most out of them and have it benefit you without wrecking the culture. Otherwise, the culture's overrated. That's my opinion on it. If you can't absorb somebody like that, keep them on the straight and narrow, take advantage of their talent, and then discard them without it wrecking your culture, then your culture's probably overrated in terms of how it contributes to your success.
There's also something karmic, like with Randy Moss, where they have the 18-1 season where he's a good Patriot, but they lose in the end. That's what you're talking about with this guy, DeMarcus Cousins, is that if he's a good boy for the season, you're still not winning a championship.
So you're saying karma.
Sports karma.
Sports karma, yeah.
Hey, I like it.
It's like, who is the Jamoke that the Patriots signed in December, the linebacker with the criminal record?
James Harrison.
So if you believe in that kind of stuff, the Patriot way, James Harrison violates all of that, and of course they're going to lose the Super Bowl.
Well, no, it's still on Bill for not playing Malcolm Butler.
And Brady for fumbling, but still.
So LeBron James going to the L.A. Lakers and now being surrounded by a bunch of weirdos like Lance Stephenson and Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me with LeBron because it says to me that I think this move's more about his post-playing career than his playing career, because if it were about getting more championships and trying to chase down MJ and even chase down Kobe with the five, then I think he would have looked to go somewhere else, maybe Philadelphia. I think this is about, it's a situation where he can set himself up to be bigger than just basketball. He can set himself up for the end of his career with this production company he has, you know, Spring Hill Entertainment and all that stuff. And I think, like a lot of guys in the NBA, he knows that the Lakers are a great platform for you to be somebody that transcends the sport. I mean, you see it, you know, going back to Kareem, right? You know, being an airplane and all that stuff, and Magic Johnson having that terrible Magic Hour show. It's one of those things where it being a Laker will help you sort of transcend sports, and you'll be able to reach an audience that maybe doesn't care about sports by being out there.
All right, let's go back to the calls here on Agenda-Free Friday, 617-779-0985. As soon as someone drops off, you can get on again, 617-779-0985. Peter in South Carolina, been hanging a bit. Appreciate that. Go ahead. You're next here on Felger and Mass.
Hi. I want to talk to you, Murray, about picking on Price. The guy could win 17 or 18 games, and we need that to win the division. In terms of the relief corps, Barnes, to me, ought to pitch in the eighth inning. I think he's got 16 or 17 holds, and sure, he didn't pitch last year because they didn't use him, but are you thinking that Farrell handled the bullpen very well? I think they need a left-handed reliever. That I will say, and I get a little worried about the closer because he hasn't looked as sharp as he did. And I watch almost every game. I'm an old dude that's got nothing else to do but sit here and watch baseball in the evening. But I think you're too tough on him. And your ego, Murray, your ego, you think that you motivate him. So I'd like to hear you talk about maybe they got some people in the bullpen that are pretty good.
Well, in terms of a lefty, and thanks for the call, Peter. And maybe I am too hard on David Price, but the people seem to like the bad impersonation. And I know Felger and Maz do, and my job here normally from 2 to 6 is to dance for them. So that's why I'm going to keep it up. And I'm sorry, the guy stinks. It's simple as that. $30 million a year for nothing. Looking like an ace against the dregs of the league, and then he goes up against the Yankees, and he craps his pants time and time again, just like he did on Sunday.
It's not nothing, though. I mean, it's not $30 million for nothing. It's just you expected sort of Chris Sale. You expected an ace that would be great against anybody, and that's not what you got. He's not nothing. He's, you know, number two or number three starter, but you could get that for less than $30 million a year.
In terms of the bullpen, okay, so yeah. maybe Tyler Thornburg, the phantom, like every time someone, ooh, Thornburg's going to come up? Nope, there's been a setback. Tyler Thornburg's going to come? Nope, there's been a setback. So maybe Tyler Thornburg can be the guy that comes in and shores up that bullpen, makes you feel a little bit better about it. Matt Barnes, Joe Kelly, name someone. Anyone on the wheel of gutless bums, they all have stuff, but in high-leverage situations, gun to my head, I don't want any of them out there because I think they're going to implode. His concerns about Craig Kimbrell. Okay, so this last game in which they completed the sweep of the Washington Nationals, Kimbrell comes in, looks a little shaky. Do you have concerns with him too? Because look, anytime it's anything beyond, even though he was able to, you know, he looked good in doing it last year, but anytime he's come in prior to that, you know, he comes in early in the eighth inning, Kimbrell does tend to get a little bit shaky if it's not a clean ninth, just trying to get those three outs. you have concerns with him too going forward?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think he's the best part of your bullpen. He's lived up to his end of the bargain. If there's any concern I have, maybe it's about usage because he ends up. There was a game I can't remember. We talked about it on our show, and there was a game earlier this year. It was last month. Where it's like if Joe Kelly had been someone you could rely upon to finish out the game, and he would have been in a situation where you didn't have to use Kimbrel. My point is, because they don't have that super reliable eighth inning guy who can also be an alternate closer, I think there are games that Kimbrel ends up coming into that he shouldn't have to come into. And I worry that all that usage will catch up to him at some point.
Let's go to Dan in Vermont here on an Agenda Free Friday. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. I actually wanted to give you kudos for picking on David Price. There was an episode last week or a show where it was a Price with Jim Rome and Fortnite in the background. That was awesome. I also wanted to mention when you broke out the train whistle on JBJ. That was awesome too. So I just want to say keep it up.
Oh, thanks, Dan. Yeah, I'm a regular Carrot Top normally on Felger and Mass. Pull out your props, boy. And oh, hold on. Do you have it?
Do you have your prop?
Yeah.
Here we go. Prop time. Yeah. We don't get the props on Saturday.
Nothing like the best $4 spent at the Five and Dime in North Conway, New Hampshire. All aboard the JBJ train, everybody. All aboard. It's not just defense. Hell of a player at the plate too. JBJ's turning it around. See ya. Dance for me, boy. That's what I'm normally doing here. Quickly, let's go.
After the game, manager John Farrell talked about why Clay Buchholz was finally successful. Actually, scratch that. My computer is froze. I will not be playing that.
Thank you, Jimmy. I don't know when
that's... Headlines are brought to you by Sports Hub Headlines.
Oh. Well, if you're going to be pulling that stuff out, why don't you pull out the all-time best one?
Give me fire. Give me that which I desire.
Now, how about Johnny Gaudreau?
That's banned.
And if Calgary's going to pay him $7-8 million a year, what, Murray? What?
According to Drager, Johnny Gaudreau is a Bruin.
No. That's when I learned you should look for the blue check mark.
Johnny Gaudreau, not a Bruin.
Yeah, that's correct, Jim.
Stephen Tewksbury on a cell with an NBA.
Ah, take that, Reimer, you bum.
Yeah. Oh, that's the all-time.
Steve, hello.
Hey, buddy boy, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
Listen, you know it, and I know it. The NBA rigged the finals against the Celtics and the Cavaliers. They knew all along LeBron was going to L.A. Now, this year, the Celtics had a chance to go in without two of their top guns. I think that would have been a better story instead of LeBron going for his sixth straight NBA final or whatever it is. And now they lost. And with him being with the Lakers, there's no way in hell that he's going to get. He might make it to the finals against Golden State, but you know the Celtics are going to get there in the East, and that's all I care about.
Oh well, Steve, yeah, look, him with LeBron being out of the East, I mean they're the clear cut favorite out of the conference now. At least for this first season, even if they end up adding Carmelo Anthony, who looks like he's going to be gone from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, I don't know, how competitive is that team really going to be? Like, what are they going to, who's, of those guys, all these weirdos that they've added, JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo, like, that's kind of a motley crew there. Like, at best, what are they going to be, maybe a 5 seed?
I mean, I think they're relying on those young guys to take a step forward, and it seems like, they're reluctant to give up, or even offer, I should say, Brandon Ingram and anything for Leonard. So I think they're thinking that Brandon Ingram will take a big step forward and be that number two guy for them. Kuzma's a good fit next to LeBron because he can shoot. He's not afraid to shoot, so they'll get some shots there. But you're right. I mean, this is and look. Certainly there's more upside there, I think, for LeBron than what was in Cleveland. But it's basically like going from one Cleveland situation to another.
All right, we have one open phone line. If you want to join us here on an Agenda Free Friday, everything on the table. 617
sports.
Right,
like, takes in your face.
It doesn't even have to be sports, Jim. It can be really anything. 617-779-0985. Restaurant recommendations. Chris and I were discussing during the last commercial break if he's actually a part of Generation X at 38 years old.
I say
yes. Chris says no. It's because he wants to be young and millennial and hip and cool.
Yes.
I say no. Welcome to Old Town, Chris. So you can weigh in on that as well. 617-779-0985. Sean Silver is going to get you caught up with the Hub headlines. Hopefully he won't butcher them like I normally do. And then back to your calls here on an Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz on an agenda-free Friday. It's 98.5, The Sports Hub. Agenda-free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. It's Gasper and Murray in for the guys today. Sean Silver alongside as well. And you at 617-779-0985. Anything and everything is on the table. So right back to you, the people. Dan and Duxbury. That was just for you, Chris.
There it is. That's great. Yeah, give me all the Bane. All the Bane.
With,
I love it.
With a thought on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey guys, I just wanted to see you on your take on maybe moving Kyrie now that he wants to go to New York and trust Marcus and Terry in the backcourt and play with those versatile wings.
So it says here like a one-for-one Kyrie for Kawhi Leonard if there was interest there.
And maybe a Celtics first-round pick in the future just to get it out there.
Well, I know, Chris, you've said this before when Mike and Tony are here. This is something you would do.
I would make that deal.
With with no assurance from Kawhi Leonard, just for the 1 year. Yeah. And it's because of the size. He's a better two-way player. But, I don't know, 9 games last year, quit on his team, was medically cleared, never came back, has this beef with arguably the greatest coach of the last 25 years. Like, that's not a massive red flag for you?
I mean, there would be some concerns, but again, the quit on his team thing, that's the Spurs version of the story. His version of the story is that I couldn't play. And
they went looking for him recently, and he was, like, ducking them. They can't find him.
Well, he doesn't want to play for them anymore. But I
sounds think, real mature.
But I think the reason he doesn't want to play for them is because they portrayed his, in his mind, inability to play as him quitting. And he got confronted by teammates like Tony Parker, who's not there. And it's funny to me because I get it. Tony Parker's a lot older, and maybe it was just an age thing. But, you know, allegedly these two guys had the same injury, and Tony Parker came back and looked like a shell of himself. And when Leonard came back, he didn't look like Kawhi Leonard the 9 games he played. And he basically was like, well, I'm not 100%. I'm not me. I got to figure this out. And then it was like, oh, he quit on them. So look, maybe he did quit on them. I'm just saying, like, that's the Spurs side of the story.
What about
which
this?
Everybody takes as the gospel? Though he just quit. He quit on them.
What about Sham Sharanai of Yahoo Sports, who's as plugged in as anybody else, was on with Colin Cowherd on his show a couple of days ago, and he said that he's heard that Kawhi is interested in going to L.A., but the Clippers. Like, to me, another red flag. Like, the Clippers. This is like Kyrie wanting to go to the Knicks. Like, this is one of the more horrid outposts you could go to in the NBA. That's not about winning. You just want to go to L.A. You want your name to ring out in L.A. in those circles.
Well, he's from that area.
Yeah,
so
okay.
It's going home for him.
It's about comfort then? It's not about winning if you want to go to the Clippers, just like it wouldn't be truly about winning if Kyrie wants to go to the Knicks. Like, that's...
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, Jerry West, who now works for the Clippers, comes, you know, and gives you the speech and tries to lure you in and says we can draw other free agents and you're the guy we're going to build around. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like
what, just because he's the logo. Yeah, welcome to hell. We don't have any real fans. We're the Clippers. Yeah, you want to play
okay,
here?
But it's not like Donald Sterling owns the team anymore. I mean, you're in L.A. Like I said, Jerry West is there. He's from there. You could make a case. Doc Rivers is the coach. You know, decent coach.
Thank you, Jerry. Yeah, I think
you guys aren't buying it.
That's a bad look to want to go play for the Clippers. That's about collecting an easy paycheck.
When Doc Rivers is your best bargaining chip.
but you got to admit that the Clippers, like, on the scale of like hopelessness, they are above the Knicks at this point. Like they already jettisoned their buffoon owner and Donald Sterling. The Knicks still have their buffoon owner.
Okay, that's fair. They're not as bad as the Knicks. Want to come play for us? What's your selling point? Well, we're not as bad as the Knicks.
Could work.
Do you have any real fans? No, not really. I mean, if we win, kind of, people will show up. Oh, all right, but I get to be in L.A.? Yes, okay, then I'll be
not
there.
As bad as, like, you sell tons of products that way. It's like, I mean, Wendy's slogan is practically not as bad as Burger King. Like, that's the deal. Like, that's how you get stuff done. You know, not as bad as is, like, you know, can be pretty convincing.
Listen, all they need is that Frosty. The Frosty, and you get those fries to dip in it. That's really all you need from
that's
Wendy's.
That's good. And I feel like their ketchup's good, too.
That Frosty is, I don't know what's in that, but it's magic. Paul in Somerville, you're next here on an Agenda-Free Friday on Felger and Mazz. Hey, Paul.
So I know that there's concern about Kyrie Irving with all the reports coming out, but I think people are forgetting how good a year he had here. Like, his scoring, I think, was down, and he was totally fine with that. He was very good at facilitating the young players, taking them under his wing. He seemed like he was really enjoying his time here. Contrast to that in Cleveland, I don't know if it was all the LeBron's fault, but, like, watching those guys, they looked miserable. Even the year they won the title, they fired the coach in the middle of the season. That was a horrible place to be. I think it'd be crazy for him just to leave what's happening here, which from what we're seeing on the court and hearing off the court, sounds like he's really enjoying himself. I don't know.
Yeah, I still don't know what to make of it, but to hear that, you know, so we played some of the audio, and we'll replay it in a little while, and with this round table of NBA talking heads like Dave McManaman of ESPN and this guy that used to cover the Cavs that works for Cleveland.com, saying that Kyrie never wanted LeBron to rejoin the team. He wanted a trade after they won the title in 2016. Like, it just sounds to me like where I didn't have worry yesterday, my worry with Kyrie Irving, Chris, has been the knee, not about any you know, long-term deal that he would sign here with the Celtics. I feel like maybe too much has been made out of that. It's the dog days of summer here. We don't have much to talk about, so we'll talk about that because there might be some interest in the Knicks because he grew up in New Jersey. But this is a better place for him to play. Long future here with these growing players like Tatum and Brown and great coach and Stevens. Why would you want to leave? But I don't know, like, you want to leave Cleveland after you win the title, didn't want LeBron back. It starts to sound to me like, well, he doesn't want anyone taking the shine off of him. Like, this is about me. I want my thing. So now, as I didn't feel this way 24 hours ago, now I hear some of this stuff, I start to believe, yeah, maybe he does really want to go to the Knicks. He wants it to be about him. Like, there's a concern growing there with this guy.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not trying to get rid of Kyrie Irving. I mean, I love Kyrie Irving. I was over the moon when they made the deal for him, you know, last summer. But now you're sort of looking at it and saying, okay, is he here for the long term? Is this where he wants to be? Does he want to flirt with other teams? And it's not something where I don't like Kyrie Irving, where I would trade for Kawhi. I just think that Kawhi is a better two-way player if he's healthy. And look, let's be honest, both guys have some health concerns there. That's the thing. That's not to go off on a tangent, but that's the thing that blows me away whenever Kawhi Leonard comes up. It's like people like red flag, you know, the injury thing. Will he be the same? Who knows? Other than it's like, but every discussion we have about the Celtics, it's like an automatic that Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward will be the exact same players from opening night. Like, no concerns, no worries.
100%, Chris, you're right.
Because they're in our uniforms. Like, it's like, oh, no problem there. Yeah. No red flag there. No need to rehab there. These guys are going to be exactly the same because they're Celtics. But if you're not a Celtic, ooh, that's a real red flag. You're coming back from an injury. Like, I don't understand that.
Sounds like somebody's spoken to you, Chris.
No. That's just my own. That's my own opinion. My own opinion.
Well, now I just can't get a Frosty out of my mind. That'd be a great, cool treat on a hot day like this.
Are there any interns you can send out for that?
No.
Sales weasels.
I'm not going to do that to him. I'll maybe do that later tonight. But I will say this, and maybe someone
wait
can.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm not going to do that. So you're saying you're this benevolent guy, but this is a guy. You're a man who you have left employers and put what was it you put?
Onions in the drop ceiling.
Yeah, an onion in the drop ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've also pulled a Kawhi Leonard back in the day, too. You know how he was hiding from his employers?
Yes.
When I knew the writing was on the wall at WFNX, I used to take my lunch break because the station was located right in 25 Exchange Street in lovely Lynn, Mass.
Yep.
And I would go to Swampscott, the Whole Foods, and I would smoke a bunch of weed in my car, and I would just basically eat. I would eat whatever I got at Whole Foods and sit in that parking lot for up to 2 hours. And they'd be blowing up my cell phone like, where are you? Just write to voicemail. Hey, what are you going to do? Fire me so I can collect unemployment, huh? Write the voicemail. You're gonna have to buy out the contract. I can understand bad employee at the end there. So I can, you know, so it's not a good look for Kawhi. But I've also been that guy. But no, I'm not gonna do that because I don't truly want the Frosty. I'm just thinking about it.
Okay.
But maybe someone can help me out on this on an Agenda Free Friday. Why haven't any of these places, these your Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King's, whatever, come up with what would be the perfect summertime treat drink? And that's like a creamsicle type of thing. You take some vanilla ice cream and orange soda, something along those lines, and make it taste like a creamsicle, put it in a cup, put the straw in, bang, there you go. The perfect drink.
I like it. I mean, yeah.
Maybe it already exists. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
I feel like somebody has that.
I feel like that's more of a local thing. Like your local sandwich shop would do that, or your local ice cream shop would do that.
Yeah, but I want it from a fast food place, so it's like chop, ready to go.
But I feel like what you just, I mean, isn't what you described basically an Orange Julius?
No. A creamsicle drink and what's happening, there's no, like, cream involved in an Orange Julius.
Okay.
That's just, like, I don't know what magic's going on in those. It's not an ice creamy type of thing. A creamsicle, that's something, it's its own entity is what that thing is.
I've discovered a website here called #HackTheMenu, which has a McDonald's secret menu item.
I don't want to have to put in the work.
This is orange creamsicle?
Yeah, this is like the McGB, where you put the burger with the chicken sandwich as well. Like, I don't want to put in the extra work. I want it ready to go. Go ahead, Sean. Sorry.
Well, it says it's a combination of McDonald's reduced fat vanilla soft serve ice cream and a splash or two of orange high C from the soda fountain.
Yeah, but I need the carbonation. That's the thing
too.
That's
orange high C from the soda fountain.
Yeah, but there's the high C's not carbonated. That's just like high C. It's like the sand and water. You mix.
Okay.
Now I'm a very particular type.
Oh, no, I hadn't noticed. No, yeah, really? Yeah. I hadn't noticed how particular you are
maybe,
about...
Maybe we'll find something
I wake up in a cold sweat with nightmares about like choosing the wrong restaurant when we like hang out. You always try and put it on me. Oh, Chris, why don't you pick this time? It's like, I picked the last time. It's like a cold sweat trying to figure out a restaurant that Jim won't hate. He won't hate the service. He won't hate the food. He won't think that it doesn't take much. Honestly, it can go awry with the parking. Well, also, never pick a place that doesn't take reservations for Jim on a Friday night.
Because yours truly is a bit of a pampered princess, I admit. John in the car, quickly, go ahead. You're here on Agenda Free Friday.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Hey.
So, the creamsicle drink you're talking about, listen, take yourself over to a Wendy's. I'm sure you've heard of them. They're all over the place.
Right.
I want you to pull into the drive-thru and order yourself what's called an orange creamsicle. They're going to take a cup, they're going to fill it with orange cream soda, and they're going to cap it off with some of that vanilla frosty.
So
love it.
They'll do that, no questions asked? They'll know what I'm talking about?
They'll know exactly what you're talking about. And if the person who has the headset on doesn't know, somebody else with another headset on will correct them.
Well, all right. I'm going to take your word for it, John. That's what I'm going to do. I will ask for the orange creamsicle at Wendy's. And then they're going to look at me and be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But a guy on the radio told me, and they'll just tell me to get out.
This show's already a win for you, though. You found out that this exists and that you can get it probably on the ride home.
Yeah, and see, this is the type of stuff that comes up on an agenda-free Friday when Felger and Maz are away, and you have Gaspar and Murray in instead. All right, a long commercial-free segment is coming up next here. And also, coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to get some... So it's not just me that feels a little bit weary about Kyrie Irving. What do you hear what Colin Cowherd has to say and what he referred to Kyrie Irving as? We'll play that audio for you. Coming up here on Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back, Felger and Maz. 98.5 of Sports Hub, Agenda Free Friday. It's Chris Gaspar and Jim Murray in for the guys today alongside Sean Silver and you at 617-779-0985. It's our long commercial-free segment. If you want to join us, get on at 617-779-0985. As soon as someone drops off, you can get on there. So back to the phones we go. Everything on the table from NBA offseason stuff, Kyrie, his rumored interest in the New York Knicks. We talked a bit about the NFL anthem issue in that... Donald Trump made more comments about that. That's not going to go away this coming season. Really, it's the owner's fault. It's the NFL owner's fault there. They should have never touched this thing. It would pretty much die down at the end of last season, but here it is again because they had to change things in May. And really, whatever is really on the table. That's why it's an agenda-free Friday. Again, 617-779-0985. Jason on the Cape with a thought on David Price. Go ahead, Jason.
So David Price is an overpaid, soft man-child. He's got great potential. He could be a great pitcher, but he's just not, and I can't wait for him to be out the door. But, like I've said before on this, I think, one of these shows, I want him to pitch well this season and pitch well in the postseason and actually win a game so I can have some comfort that we didn't overpay him for nothing. But my other story that I told the guy that answered the call about was my one big bag story. So I live in the Cape. I've been using my father-in-law's trunk and his dump sticker for the past couple of years because I just didn't want to point up the dough for my own. I decided this year to get a dump sticker for my dump. I pack up my bag because I'm an avid recycler and have been for a long time. I went over to the dump to recycle, and no, I wasn't allowed to because I had to break it down into brown bottles, clear bottles, this plastic, this piece, that piece. Ugh. There was no recycle everything. And at that point, I said, you know what? I'm with Jim Murray. I am now one big bag team. All the way.
Hashtag one big bag, Jason. No one's got that kind of time. And getting all sticky. You show up, you try to do the right thing. Oh, no. Out comes the finger wagger. Brown bottles in that bag. Clear bottles in this bag. Plastic in here. Cardboard. I don't have it. Come on, I don't have this kind of time. This is busy work. It's nonsense. And guess what? It all ends up in the same damn place anyway. Google it. Look up the stories. Recycling, trash, all ends up in the same place. You just do it so you can feel better about yourself. That's why you do it. That's why I am forever. Hashtag one big bag. Team one big bag forever. Buy the big industrial bag. everything goes in, glass, plastic, cardboard, all trash, wrap it all up, haul that 100-pounder out into the yard, leave it there on Mondays for the trash pickup, that's in Melrose, and then haul it away. Poof, disappears. I don't got to worry about it anymore.
So one big bag. But I know that you are a big animals guy. I want to ask you about this. So, you know, when I get, like, let's say I get, like, a six-pack of, like, Canada Dry.
Mm-hmm.
When I throw that thing out, it came in, I cut it up to make sure it doesn't kill the animals. Do you do this or not?
No.
Or are you a hypocrite? Okay, then you're a hypocrite.
I'm a giant hypocrite in one big contradiction. I understand that. Like animals more than people,
you do.
Won't recycle. I know it doesn't make sense.
But it's not even recycling. You could just, it takes 2 seconds, just snip it with the scissors so it breaks up so they don't choke to death.
I think that all that is a meme on the internet, too. Tell me, have you gone to the beach and you've seen choking fish or choking turtles because of a six-pack you didn't cut up and throw into the ocean? No, you haven't. You're made to feel guilty by PETA and the internet.
I disagree with you on this. You love animals. So what? So you've never seen it. What about the opportunity? It could happen. Just the off chance it could happen that you, Jim Murray, could be responsible for the death of a bird or a fish or a sea turtle.
Do you prefer mammals over sea life? Is there any sort of bias here?
Yes.
Yeah, there's definitely a bias. Cute things in the sea, your seals, whales, things of that nature. Okay. I'm definitely for them.
You aware of the Pacific garbage gyre, Jim?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah,
I've seen that, too.
That's a big,
but I don't live in that side of the world, so I haven't contributed to that. That's not my problem. Mm. And the fish. Yeah, you know, I know. The internet tells me so.
No, do you know where trash goes? You know where recycling
goes?
No,
I don't.
It goes on barges to China.
All the same place. Yeah, all the same place. I know that when I put it out in front of my house, Sean, poof, it disappears. That's what I know. One big bag, bang, there it goes. My house, not a cesspool anymore because the bag is gone.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, and fish, I go with the Nirvana lyrics there. They don't have feelings. I don't care about fish. Chop them up, turn them into sushi, or fry them up, and dip them in tartar sauce and get in my belly. That's what I feel about the fish. I know, it doesn't make any sense.
Jim Murray, like everybody, the great animal lover.
It makes no sense at all. I don't recycle, love the animals. I understand it.
And we love you, Jim.
Right. No, I know. I'm a curmudgeon. I'm the ugly American. I'm all of these things. Just put all the labels on me. Curtis in Maine on David Price. Go ahead, Curtis.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, real quick, just off topic. If you're looking for something refreshing, a nice little something to drink, if you have an Arby's around, they have an orange creamsicle. It is super duper awesome. Go to Arby's, grab an orange creamsicle shake, some loaded fries. They got the best loaded curly fries you'll ever eat in your life.
All right, duly noted, Curtis.
See, the problem there is that you have to go to an Arby's. See, that's the issue for me.
Oh, they have the meats, so why wouldn't you go?
No, but do you remember that Simpsons with the two twins? And they go, I'm so hungry, I could eat at Arby's. That always sticks in my head.
Well, I almost feel like they're irrelevant around here because we have all these world-famous roast beef places. Like, you got your Billy's in Wakefield, you got your Bill and Bob's, and so on and so forth. So why go get a beef at a place like that when you can get it at a better place when it's made by Greeks who know what they're doing when it comes to roast beef? What's your thought on David Price? Quickly, Curtis, go.
I know you hate David Price. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, you know, come play out time. If it's Sale, Porcello, and Rodriguez, you're 1-2-3. You got Wright and Pomeranz. Hopefully they stay healthy. They'll fit some depth. You get Price in the bullpen doing what he did late in the season last year, and then Kimbrel to lock down the games, you know, with the way we swing the bats. I mean, I think it can work. I mean, I know it's not ideal. You're not paying him $30 million to be a bullpen piece, but I think all is not lost, and we just got to kind of play the cards that we're dealt at this point. You know what I mean?
Curtis, I'm with you. Maz has brought it up, and look, he was nails out of the bullpen last year. Do you refer to him as the best pitcher for the Red Sox in the postseason last year? I'm for it. I know financially it makes no sense. You get a $30 million a year guy coming out of the bullpen, but he's less apt to be a complete mental case against the best competition coming out of the bullpen. You know, I would trust him there with a lead in the seventh or eighth inning, a la Andrew Miller, much more than I would have him starting a game against the Astros or, you know, the Mariners or especially the Yankees. Because as this last Sunday night proved, he's going to crap his pants in the biggest moments when the lights are the brightest and it's the biggest game.
And I think the bullpen,
as a starter,
the bullpen situation, you don't have time to think about. Like, you're not sure you're going to get in the game. All of a sudden,
throw.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're just in there and you just have to react. I think some of these starts, I think he psychs himself out before he even gets out there.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Nas on 98.5 The Sports Hub.